The title of this podcast is that the collapse of civilization is survivable. And this is not something that is normally talked about. You know, we talk about, yes, a collapse is coming, a dollar collapse, the collapse of the U.S. empire, a collapse of Western civilization, perhaps, a collapse of a human population on planet Earth. You know, some of that deliberate and some of it, you know, unintended. But a major collapse is coming. But usually, you know, people think about the word collapse and they have in their minds something like a total Mad Max scenario, or maybe just everybody dies. And I'm here to tell you that civilizations have collapsed hundreds of times in human history, and yet we're still here. So a collapse doesn't actually mean that everybody dies. And in fact, what I want to communicate here is that, you know, a collapse of civilization, like, what is civilization? It's really a structural layer or an organizational layer on top of the things that are real. So what's real? Well, land is real. And in a collapse, does land disappear? No, it doesn't. Farmland is still here. The ability to grow food is still here at a fundamental level. In a collapse, people still exist. Do some die? Yes, always. Sometimes in war, sometimes starvation, sometimes, you know, economic collapse leads to famine and things like that. So yeah, people die, and they have died throughout history with hundreds of different collapses. And some civilizations have been completely wiped out, such as the Anasazi Indians in the, I think, modern day, what is it, Arizona or New Mexico region. Yeah, I mean, some civilizations cease to exist. And like, what happened to the Mayans? What happened to the Aztecs, right? But other civilizations collapsed and then became abundant, such as the former Japanese Empire, for example, or even the German Empire, the Third Reich, collapsed. You know, Germany was defeated. And yet today, Germany has resurged as an economic powerhouse of Europe and so on. So, you know, the British Empire has collapsed. The Soviet Empire collapsed. And then yet Russia today is one of the strongest countries in the world with extraordinary potential and a lot of natural resources. So understand that a collapse doesn't mean the end. It means a restructuring of how people interact with each other at a geopolitical level and an economic level. So one way to look at collapse is actually kind of a reformation. You could think of collapse as, you know, in a positive light, in a sense. Not that every experience of it is positive, but in one sense, you could think of it as, let's say, a forest that has overgrown and there's too much underbrush, there's too much waste in the forest. And then eventually that forest will burn because lightning will set it on fire and it will burn. And it won't destroy the entire forest. It doesn't usually destroy all the trees. It doesn't destroy the soil. And it might kill a few animals, but for the most part, it doesn't kill the ecosystem. The animals come back in. But then a new forest can grow after the underbrush was burned out. And now there's new ash. There's new, in essence, mineral fertilizer available. There's more sunlight that reaches the surface underneath the tree canopy. And so a rebirth of the forest happens after the forest fire. And this is a pretty good metaphor for what's going to happen to America and Western civilization. The United States of America, as we know it today, will absolutely collapse. It will cease to exist. And, you know, I'm not going to focus on why that is. I've covered that in other podcasts. But, you know, the dollar is just about over, mad money printing, you know, incompetent lunatics rising to the top, you know, suicidal geopolitical decisions and all these kinds of things. The United States of America will collapse. Western Europe will collapse. But that's kind of like burning out the underbrush, the waste products of a forest. And then after that happens, after the bad ideas are burned out, then you have the new resurrection of a new civilization that rises out of the ashes of the old. And the new civilization usually, well, in almost every case, has a much better potential because, you know, the crazy, insane ideas have been eliminated, you know, such as the idea that a man could get pregnant, that a man can be a woman or whatever, or that you can print money endlessly and with no inflation, you know, these just insanely crazy ideas. Those ideas disappear very quickly when reality hits the fan. So hitting the fan, in one sense, is a very good thing. But for you to survive this, you simply need to understand how this transition works. And the easy way to do that is to think about what's real versus what is fiction or what is abstraction. And during the collapse, you need to be positioning yourself for what's real. In other words, just finance, for example. If you are holding dollars, dollars will collapse. They will become worthless. You will lose everything that's denominated in dollars, a savings account, checking account, dollar, cash, whatever. But there will be plenty of people who position themselves into other assets that we've talked about many times, land, gold, silver, ammo, vehicles, you know, real estate, whatever, things that are actually real, or owning a factory, for example, owning a commercial building that can produce something, owning farmland that can produce food, owning land that has water on it for irrigation. You know, these are real things, and all these things will continue to exist. So the people who want to make it through what's about to happen, they understand that it's about pre-positioning into things that are real. And then secondly, understanding that the chaos of the collapse, which is a temporary situation, but the chaos is real, but the collapse will not last forever. There will be a chaotic time when banking doesn't function, for example, when food stamps do not function, when food deliveries don't function. Logistics will fail. You know, there'll be shortages of diesel and gasoline, and the trains won't run, and the coal-fired power plants won't work, and the power grid probably won't function. And, you know, I mean, it could vary region by region. Some areas might do better than others, but overall, it's going to be chaos. And in this chaos, you will temporarily be living in probably kind of like a third world condition. Tap water won't work, you know, electricity won't work, and so on. Food won't be available at the grocery store. And even if it is, your credit card won't work because the banking system will crater. So once again, people who want to survive the collapse of civilization, they understand that they need to have a lot of buffers in order to be able to make it through this while society restructures. And every society will restructure. This is the good news. So even as things collapse, there will be a restructuring at the local level where people will naturally start to form up just neighborhood barter programs. You know, they'll get together. Oh, it's a Saturday farmer's market or whatever. It's a neighborhood, you know, flea market. I don't know why they call them flea markets, but whatever. People are going to engage in commerce. They're going to buy, sell, and trade. And so you're going to have very thriving barter economies pretty quickly. And then you're going to have regions, whether they are states or counties or cities or nations or whatever, regions are going to very quickly self-organize new types of currency. So I'm in Texas, and I believe Texas would probably launch, you know, the Texas currency. Well, I don't know what it's called, like Longhorn bucks or something. But Texas would have its own currency. And then pretty soon everybody in Texas would say, hey, let's use the Texas currency, and then we can all do better. We can buy, sell, and trade because the Texas currency, which would probably have to be backed by gold or silver or oil or something, this currency is a representation of time, effort, money, assets, and so on. And that's why money is useful for civilization to rebuild itself. That is, when the currency is not being overprinted, right? So in fact, an area like Texas could do so much better after the collapse of the United States because the money would hold its value. That is, again, as long as the government didn't get greedy and start mass printing, which is why you have to have money backed by gold and silver. In fact, if it's not backed by gold and silver, it's not technically money. It's just currency, and currency is not money. Money is, by definition, something that holds value. But Texas isn't the only state thinking about this. You know, Wyoming, I think, has legalized gold and silver currency as, you know, legal tender in the state. And I think this has happened in many other states as well. But my point is that you can survive the collapse of civilization. People have always survived it. I mean, not everybody, obviously. A lot of people will die. You know, the unprepared, the oblivious masses, they will die in large numbers. And there's not much we can do to stop that. Many people will starve. Many people will die from violence and so on. People will die from lack of medical care. You know, people will die from common infections, not knowing how to treat infections because their government told them that colloidal silver was dangerous, and so they never learned how to make their own antibiotics at home, or, you know, or how to use herbs or anything. A lot of those people will die. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be roses and you know, happy times for everybody. No, a lot of people are going to die, but plenty of people will make it through. And the thing is, you get to choose which one of those groups you want to be in. If you want to make it through, it's pretty straightforward. You can make it through with high confidence. If you prepare, if you've got a means of self-defense, if you've got backup money, if you've got backup assets, if you understand something about growing your own food, and you've got some garden seeds and some stored food and maybe some stored ammunition and so on, and, you know, just the basics, you can probably make it through, as long as you're not in living in, let's say, you know, East LA or something. You know, some areas will not be survivable, but if you're outside of those real chaos areas, you can make it through the collapse of civilization, literally. So as you listen to my podcast or my situation updates, don't take it as any form of hopelessness. That's not the position that I take at all. I'm not hopeless at all. In fact, if you listen carefully to what I'm saying, I'm talking about always the resurrection of the new society after the fall of this society. And I am certain this society falls. It falls apart. It implodes. You know, it collapses. But I am also just as certain that the future for humanity can be a golden age, an abundant age. But truly, part of what's necessary to make that happen is that bad ideas have to die off through, you know, I guess this natural selection process or Darwinism or whatever you want to call it. But bad ideas have to go away, which is kind of like, you know, the fire burning through the forest. It's burning up the underbrush, and it's letting new sunlight back in. And then we have the sprouting of new good ideas that, in fact, reinforce the abundance of society. So this is the process that we are all going to go through. And do not think that we're going to save America in the next election, or that, you know, even that Trump is going to save America. No, America's finished. It is going to collapse. Some people will die, but many will make it through. And we will rebuild on the other side. And then we get to choose what kind of society we want. And that's when we must, of course, really assert those choices so that we can grow the next America in Christian values, where we don't have drag queen story time, you know, parades for toddlers, and all the other insanity that defines our current society. And, you know, government that's massively overgrown and massive money printing and total corruption and criminality and rigged elections and, you know, overzealous regulators and the outlawing of cannabis for natural medicine and everything else. We get to choose the society we want. And that's why it's important to survive all this. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also Brighteon.com. Take care.